Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Roll tape, please.
Okay, let's get this show rolling.
10 seconds.
Stand by, everybody.
John Fricke and Hugh Douglas. Live, local, and you can hear us all over Georgia.
Big Hugh, Big John, Big Guys, Big Show.
A three-time NFL Pro Bowler and a guy who's been covering the A for nearly three decades. John and Hugh, call the guys at 404-741-0929.
Wait, I thought I was the man.
No, you're my man.
Oh, okay. So my man, what do you mean I'm your...
No, not like that.
Okay.
My man, we cool.
Okay, gotcha.
John and Hugh are on the air.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hugh Douglas with my man John Fricke. I know y'all probably not used to this happening like this in the morning, but you know, sometimes you have to take the initiative and take over things, especially on this lovely foggy Monday. Rainy Monday too. I hope everybody's having a nice ride in. A little rain.
Wait, this is how my week starts?
Yeah. Yeah, to take over for a minute. It was a preemptive strike.
The little microphone. Our microphones in here are held together with a little screw and a nut. And some of the hosts will. All right, I'm just going to do this so that I can show you. Grab the mic. They like to move it like this, okay? And so they moved it a lot. So when I moved it, just touched it up, the whole thing fell apart. Oh, well. Happy Monday to y'all.
Happy,
how you doing?
Happy Monday. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope everybody had a wonderful weekend. It was a great weekend. How was your weekend,
John? Yeah, it was fine. I mean, we had a lot of fun. I mean, it was interesting. I mean, I actually watched more of the AAF game. I thought, well, I'll give it 5 minutes and just kind of see. And I kind of hung around until it kind of got out of hand.
Yeah, but they got trounced. Atlanta Legends got trounced. They got trounced a little bit. It was one of those things where I watched it and I tried to be fair and balanced as much as I possibly can. I know a lot of people probably didn't like it, but you got to think, John, this is the first time that these teams have actually played a real game in like 30 days. They scrimmaged,
mm-hmm.
But you're talking about throwing together a team in 30 days. And so there were a lot of miscues. It wasn't as crisp as the NFL. You saw that.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
as far as being entertaining, it was pretty entertaining. I did not have a problem with it. It's one of those things that I think that they did a great job. One thing I think they did a great job of is they brought on people, familiar faces. They brought out a lot of familiar faces, and I think that was one of the things that kind of made it comfortable for everybody to watch was the fact that they had guys like Hines Ward. They had guys like Tiki Barber. They had Trent Green out there. And, you know, just guys that you know you were familiar with during the season.
Right, right.
That did the game. So, yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah,
Kurt Warner.
Right, so kind of front and center there. It was Matt Sims, the one-time Falcons quarterback, beat out Aaron Murray, apparently. But I couldn't help wondering as I'm watching the game, I said, wait a second, I thought it was going to be Aaron Murray, quarterback, and Michael Vick as the offensive coordinator, and it turned out to be Matt Sims and not Michael Vick.
So, things changed. You know what's funny? That Michael Vick story, has changed. I've heard so many different versions of that and why he's not the offensive coordinator. But Jeff Fisher came out and basically said that, you know, when Coach Brad Childress left to go to the NFL, it kind of threw everything in a tizzy. So they did everything on the fly.
Mm-hmm.
And basically they were very pleased with the Atlanta Legends fans that allowed them to, you know, make these changes on the fly.
Yeah, keep this in mind. Michael Vick's going to do something. Jeff Fisher's the former NFL head coach, is like the director of, I don't know, operations for the league or something like this. It's not like the NFL where you have individual organizations. Every team in the AAF is owned by the league. Okay, so you are a league employee. If they want to trade you from one team to another or move you to a new position, you work for the AAF, not for the Atlanta Legends or the Orlando Apollos or the San Diego Fleet. So it's a little bit different in that regard. And Fisher said Michael Vick is going to have a role in the league. He's just not going to be an offensive coordinator.
Well, he said something to the effect that he's going to be administrator of player development.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's how they kind of left that.
Well, you know, and I understand that, but at the same time, that's you know, I don't know if I'm Billy Devaney, if I'm the general manager of the Legends, if that's necessarily a good thing, because Michael Vick is one of your big draws. I mean, the whole concept of having Michael Vick back on the football sideline in Atlanta is a draw, isn't it?
See, I didn't get what you got from it. When I read the story, it didn't sound to me like Vick was going to be like a player development at large.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't sound that way to me. I still thought he was going to be a part of the Atlanta Legends. That's what I got from it.
Oh, I got you.
Well, it may be something different, but what I got from it is that he's going to be a part of the Atlanta Legends in the player development part.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how that's going to work as far as every other team is concerned, but I had a feeling that he was going to be, you know, still a part of the Atlanta Legends. That's how I took it.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about this throughout the morning here and getting your reaction as well. We always encourage you on our show with Hugh and I to be part of the show. You can always tweet us at 929thegame. We've been doing some stuff where we want to answer some of your questions. We occasionally do that, and it doesn't have to be sports-related. We always encourage you to ask us questions that aren't sports-related because we really kind of find us a little bit interesting. But you can always comment at 929thegame. We're going to be running polls, as you know. And the phone lines are open from 6 to 10 at 404-741-0929. So if you hear something you want to jump in on, feel free. We'd love to take your calls. We start the show just by touching on some of the big headlines. Not a good week for the Hawks. Tomorrow night, big game. Going to be huge night with LeBron coming into town. But, this weekend for the Hawks, their defense, all that kind of good mojo they had from that road trip kind of went away.
Yeah, they were a little lifeless, listless, tired looking, if you will. So much so that Coach Pierce pulled them in the third quarter. Pulled them a little bit because he said that they weren't playing with a whole lot of energy. So that was a little bit of a problem for him last night.
Yeah, the Hawks took a pair of losses at home, and neither of them were even close. Kemba Walker of Charlotte is still we talk about this all the time. I mean, you, me, and Arthur and stuff. Kemba Walker is the best player that nobody knows about. I mean, this dude can play.
He's going to the All-Star game, though, isn't he?
I know, but
he's going to the All-Star, so they know enough about him.
Yeah, but you know what I mean. The general
public.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I know what you're saying.
He's on a team that's not getting it.
I got you. But, no, I mean, he's getting his due. He's definitely getting his due. He's one heck of a player. There's no question about it. This is the second time that Charlotte has gotten the best of Atlanta. But last night, honestly, they just looked like they didn't have it.
They didn't
look motivated.
And Orlando has Atlanta's number. It's one of those weird things where the Magic just seems to match up well. And it's not necessarily it's hard to lose because I want the team to win, but it's not necessarily a bad thing because we can still go back to what do we have now? 26 games to go in the year. The last thing you really want in a way is for the Hawks to get too hot. Because you want them to maintain their number five in ping pong balls right now, which gives them a halfway decent shot at the first or second pick. And you kind of want them to stay there at number five is all I'm saying, because there's a log jam of teams from six to about 16, and you don't suddenly want them moving too far back in the pecking order here. Because you're 20 games under 500, there are 26 games to go. We know it's about next year, and having a high draft pick would help, okay? It just would.
Yeah. It would, man, and I'm telling you, somebody tweeted me this weekend talking about Zion Williams. He had one hell of a block.
he came from the other elbow across the floor to block this Virginia three-pointer in the corner.
Yeah. that was ridiculous. That was ridiculous.
Oh, one thing about the AAF, if I can go back to it. Did you see Matt Sims get utterly destroyed on the one blitz? And did you see by any chance the highlight of the San Diego quarterback get just, I mean, obliterated by the other blitz?
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. And I think that one when Matt got hit, I think they sent too many linebackers. I didn't really like that part of the rule, is that you can't send two linebackers from the same side. And I forgot it. You can't send more than five. You can't send more than five
right,
blitzes.
Right, five.
Well, you can't
five
have
rushers.
More than five rushers. You can't have more than five rushers. Which I thought was kind of, you know, I mean, I understand that, you know, you're trying to keep it as close as possible to the real game. But to me, that's not the real game. If you're not being able to blitz as many as you can, that's not the real game.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of like eight-man football in a sense to me. So, yeah, that was a little weird. That was a little weird that they did it like that.
Yeah, I wonder how long the AF – I mean, two quarterbacks, the San Diego quarterback, Bergovici, who played at Arizona State, Mike Bergovici, and then Matt Sims of our team, of the Legends, both got hit, and I mean hit. Remember the time when the Kansas City Chiefs just touched the shoulder of Tom Brady and it was called roughing the passer? Remember that? Okay. These guys got, I mean, Bergovici got his helmet and his head almost torn off. I mean, de-cleated.
Yeah, that was a beautiful hit. That was a beautiful hit. That was what football was, well, what football used to look like.
Mm-hmm.
But again, they're going to get that corrected too, John. Don't get too used to that. Because you got to remember, that was the ref's first game, too. That was everybody's first game yesterday. They're going to correct all of that. They're going to definitely correct all that. You know what else I did? I don't know how I felt about this in the game. The replay official, like the eye in the sky, the seventh ref or the eighth ref, or how many other refs are out there on the field? How many is the eight total in the normal game? No, in the normal game of football. It's seven, right? Because they got one extra. So the one in the sky, I don't know how I felt about that. Because it was one call where it was a touchdown, and she was a little wishy-washy about what she saw in the beginning. Like, you have a cut on that? Thank you, Daryl. Play the cut.
Wait a minute, 1 second. We've got an elbow down. It's got it and touched. Nope, we're going to overturn this and reverse this to a catch in the end zone for a score by Orlando.
Yeah, but Daryl cut that down because she changed her mind about 50 times. And I'm like, damn it, woman. Make a call. If I had any gripe on the game last night, that would have been it. And it's not, listen, before anybody jump and say, oh, you're just being rough because it's a lady. No, that wasn't. I would say that to a guy. Anybody. Make a decision. Because at first she was like, oh, wait a minute. And
that's
even
not
made
a catch. We're going to call that not a catch.
Well, even in the broadcast, they alluded to the fact. They said, well, I like the fact that she's not just sticking to it. Like, she's going to review it and go through it. No, we ain't got time for all that. Make a decision and keep it moving.
You know what it sounded like to me? It was that, you know, because she says, you know, oh, ball touched the ground. That's not a catch. We're going to rule it not a catch. And then she takes another look at it. It was almost like somebody got in her ear and goes, No.
Woman, that's a catch.
That's a catch. Reverse yourself. Oh, now that I look at it again.
Yeah, that's what it was.
That's what it sounded like.
That's what it was.
I mean.
But it was, like, if you're going by NFL rules, and we have to understand that this is not, I don't think it's that close to NFL rules, is that there's going to be growing pains.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing that it was kind of weird, no kickoffs.
Yeah, no kickoffs.
Everybody
or PATs.
Get the ball at the 25.
Yeah, right. So we're talking about that, you know, tweeting out on @929TheGame and on my Twitter @JohnFricke about the rules, whether you like the new AAF rules, and we're going to be talking about that today with you as well. Pitchers and catchers this week, by the way, pitchers and catchers this week. Yeah, Braves are going to be big news this week. I think they're making a move this week. I just do. I don't think they're going to disappoint us. I hope not, but I'm going to go with they're not going to disappoint us. A lot to get into. United finishing up out in California, getting ready for 10 days from now, and we'll talk more about that throughout the show, too. So, and a lot of United news. Chris McCann gone. And more, so there's a lot to catch up with that, too. The Grammys last night. Did you watch? Did you see it? Some of the thoughts about what took place at that. It's all ahead on The Morning Show on a Monday with John and Hugh.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now you can listen to The Game anywhere in the world. Just go to radio.com and stream us anytime.
Using the internet.
Stay connected to Atlanta sports 24/7. Only at radio.com and the radio.com app. Streaming live now. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Look what I'm whipping up. This is America. Don't catch you slipping up. Don't catch you slipping up. Look what I'm whipping up. This is America.
Welcome back to The Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. This was the song that won. Daryl is our music expert. Is it Song of the Year? Is that the? Title? I went.
Yeah, he got Song of the Year. He got two awards for this.
This is
Record of the Year and Song of the Year.
Childish Gambino, otherwise known as Danny Glover, at the Grammys last night.
Donald
Glover. Donald Glover. Danny Glover.
Yeah, I was like Danny. I was like Danny Glover. Lethal Weapon.
Donald Glover. Obviously Donald. Yeah, he's not that old. Donald Glover. Sorry about that, Donald. hey, it just happens. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's natural. Just go with it. It's cool.
You know, I'm just gonna roll it. So the Grammys last night. Interesting night. Big night for certain people. Certainly for Childish Gambino. For Drake had a big night. I guess Casey Musgraves and Cardi B. They had some big nights last night.
No, the biggest night was Cardi B. There's no question about that. I did not know that she was the first woman ever rap artist, to win a Grammy. And then you think about, like, and I always say this, listen, not hating, but from her transition from what she used to do and her meteoric rise, was this like a 2-year thing or something like that in 2 years? That's bananas. And I was just seeing where, you know, her husband Offset, they're from here, they're from Atlanta, and they were QT, Quality Control. Was it Quality Control? Quality Control? Like, they're winning. QC. Excuse me. Look at me. I'm doing the same thing. QC. But for her to go from where she's been to be one of the most likable, relevant rappers of this era, that's pretty amazing, John. This is in like a 2 or 3 year span.
From pop to rap?
No, just from what? From being a stripper.
From stripping to reality television.
To being a reality television star. All right. To being a mega rap mogul now. I mean, is it safe to say she's probably a mogul, a rap mogul?
Yes.
Because, I mean, they have stuff. John, I just was looking on the internet, and they're talking about how in Offset's next album, he's going to do a documentary about their baby. They had a baby together, him and her married. They had a baby. They're going to do a documentary about all that. They are winning. Like for her to go to come from where she came from to be where she is now, she's winning. No question about that. The Grammys were pretty decent last night, too. They were pretty decent.
We are doing the morning show with John and Hugh, Daryl and AT. So, D, you are the music expert on the program. Kind of give me your take. Was there any upsets in your opinion? Did Gaga not win as much as you thought she might?
I thought, you know, normally because with shows like the Grammys, it's all votes and opinion based. So it's not really what you really sold. I really thought that Gaga would have done a lot better, but it just seems like right now people are voting. That wasn't the song that she was up for. But it seems now that a lot of Grammy members are actually voting now. That was always the problem in the past.
I tell you what, man. I am a Lady Gaga fan. So much so that when she sang that song, I think I'm going to have to go back and watch that movie, A Star Is Born Again. Between her and Rick Kamler raving about it, like the song. Like, dude, she sang that song last night. And only the way that Lady Gaga could sing
the movie is still trash.
Weird. But she said, did you see this way she sang the song? She sang it in the only way that Lady Gaga could sing it. Weird. Like the facial expressions, the voice inflections and everything. But that's the reason why I like Lady Gaga. Lady Gaga does not care what John Freaky or Hugh Douglas or anybody else thinks about her.
She wore a meat dress.
True. She did. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Lady Gaga does not care what you think about
her. She was born that way. You have to go with it.
Yes, and that's why I think I like her. What are you talking about, the song?
I'm talking about John's. John keep throwing these little dresses. Yeah. He's nice.
Well, you know, the thing about Lady Gaga is that she does have a phenomenal voice.
She has one of the best voices in the industry.
And she's a weirdo.
It's different. Okay
to be a weirdo.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I like Lady Gaga, because Lady Gaga does not care.
But think about
what you think about her.
How some people started off kind of like, you know, right, for lack of a better term, weirdo, and then kind of mainstreamed over the course of their life.
Donald Glover.
Well, or I mean, look at a guy like, you know, David Bowie. I mean, David Bowie was out there as Ziggy Stardust.
Ziggy.
And then by the time he was, you know, doing acting where he's playing Nikola Tesla in that movie.
But that's what I'm saying. I think that's the reason why people like Cardi B as much as they do, because Cardi B is not, she's not PC. Cardi B, you think I butcher words in the English language? She butchers words. But I think that's what people enjoy about her, is the fact that she's not, I don't want to say that because that just sounds so bad. She doesn't use words correctly.
She's relatable.
Yes, thank you. There you go. That's a safe word, because I didn't want it to come out and sound like I'm dissing her. But when she made that video, John, and she was talking about footage, and she kept saying footages. What was she saying, Daryl? I just saw the footages.
I have the footages.
See, I got the
with
footage.
An S.
And everybody just liked that about her because she's a real person. She's real.
Hey, so, Daryl, I mean, the women dominated last night. Did that surprise you?
Nope. You know why? Because just last year, remember, the president of the Grammys, he kind of said the women need to step it up. And that's why Dua Lipa said what she said.
Dua Lipa, yeah, she was pretty good, too.
She said what she said. She's like, we stepped up. And that was pretty cool.
Right.
That was very good to see.
Dinah Ross was doing her thing.
Because aside from Drake, it was really pretty much, and Gambino, the rest of it was all women, right? I mean,
Wait a minute, Travis Scott, record of the year. Travis Scott got an award.
He performed. Okay. Yeah, I mean, everything else, it was like, you know, everybody took, you know.
It was the year of the woman. It was beautiful.
Man, it was nothing but, yeah, I mean, and not that that's a bad, don't look at me like that, Arthur. It's not a bad thing. I wasn't saying anything bad.
I didn't say a word.
I just said it was.
I didn't watch this program.
Janelle Monáe performed. She looked good. She looked real good. That's all I got.
What did you think about J-Lo's performance, Hugh Douglas?
Why you put me on the spot?
I don't know. I have a taste of it here.
Jenny from the block, yeah, out there.
I have a taste of Jenny from the block here from her performance.
Yeah, let's play a little bit of that. That sounds like it came straight off the TV. She did okay. She did okay.
Mm.
I know what I'm probably about to say is not going to be the popular sentiment because everybody's starting to look at me sideways. And I know why. Because of the significance of this month and who she is or who she isn't. She did okay.
What did she do okay? Dance?
She did the salsa. The salsa, like the way they.
What salsa was in Motown?
I mean.
None.
Yeah.
None. I'm just saying, look, I stepped back and looked at it for entertainment purposes only. I know, listen, I ain't no dummy. I know what the significance of this month is. And how, a salsa tribute, how all the artists came through Motown. Maybe they were just trying to be all inclusive.
Maybe. Nope. Look, if they were, I saw this. I didn't see this live. This music doesn't do anything for me anymore. So watching the program is generally a waste of my time. But I watched it on Twitter.
Wow.
It is. I'm just being perfectly honest. I don't listen to today's music like that. And when I saw it on Twitter, her performance, I was like, was she being a Vegas act? Or was she doing Motown?
Okay. Okay.
She was plugging her Vegas act.
That's fair. Okay, if you put it in that perspective, that's fair.
She said, I'm real. I mean, come on. I mean,
but you had former Motown artists in the audience who could have done that.
Maybe they didn't want to sing.
Mm-hmm. She didn't sing. That was lip synced.
Somebody else said that. Somebody's like, she
went
Look
Bo Paul Abdul.
She did.
I tell you who else. I know Alicia Keys was hot in that leather outfit too. She was hot. I know she's cooking all kind of cakes and pies in that suit because them lights looked like they were hot. Dude, that was a full-on leather outfit, like for real leather. I don't care if you look at me like that, that was a hot-looking outfit. You wear leather on that stage in front of all those folks, that's a hot outfit.
Well, let me ask you this. How did she do in a hosting role? Because she's generally not a host of you wouldn't.
I think, honestly, she didn't do anything that made me that was you know bad. Yeah, no, yeah, there you go. She didn't do anything to me that was cringeworthy. She did a good job. She did a good job, I think.
Well, that was the Grammys last night. Award season has begun, right? I mean, here we go. I mean, now the Oscars, does the Oscars have a host? I don't think so, right?
Not yet.
Not yet.
I don't believe so.
I tell you what I saw last night that had me kind of like that had me tripping tonight. I thought the commercials for the Grammys were better than the ones in Super Bowl. That's number one.
Mm-hmm.
And one commercial had me like, wow, Will Smith is playing the genie in Aladdin. Did anybody see that? You have to see the trailer. It just looked weird. It looked really weird to see him playing the genie in Aladdin. Not saying that he can't do it because I think that his acting has come to a point in his life where he could, you know, do whatever he wants to do. But yeah, he's doing Aladdin. He's doing the genie.
Yeah, the only problem with Will Smith in my opinion, is that he's kind of become, I mean, he's a great actor, don't get me wrong, but he's kind of become like Kevin Costner. In other words, Kevin Costner plays Kevin Costner. Will Smith plays Will Smith. You know what I mean? He's
I'm
always
trying to,
Will Smith.
I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, because he's not the Fresh Prince.
Nah.
In any of his movies, and I think
he's not Mike Lowry.
Well, he's done a wide range of characters.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. But he's not like when I think of Kevin Costner. Kevin Costner is kind of like Nicolas Cage. Like, you know how Nicolas Cage plays
Nicolas Cage
through all the movies. And Kevin
Costner plays Kevin Costner.
Yeah, but no, I don't know if I can say that about Will Smith.
I want to see a little bit more of Will Smith. So maybe he's stretching a little bit, which is good as an actor, you know? I mean, he could play Will Smith being like, I mean, to me, the best Will Smith I've ever seen. Well, there have been some really good Will Smith, but I thought in Hancock, he almost played against type a little bit. Where, you know, I mean, playing the alcoholic superhero.
That was a good
film. Oh, it was, you know what?
A highly underrated superhero film.
You know, that was actually a better film than it had ever any right to be because he was so good in it. You know, I mean, because he played the role. No, look, Will Smith's great movie star. Don't get me wrong. So that'll be interesting. Because you say genie, I think Shaq.
I am the genie of the lamp.
It doesn't mean Kazam was all that, though.
No.
You going to get off of Kazam. I loved Kazam. I did not.
Yes, the NBA, the Hawks take one on the chin. Speaking of movie roles, I wonder, well, LeBron was in what? How many movies has he been in? A couple, three?
LeBron?
Yeah.
I know he's producing.
Wait, Space Jam 2 thing?
He did Littlefoot.
We're waiting on Space Jam. It may happen one day.
No, he did one last summer. It's called Littlefoot or something, where he was a Sasquatch cartoon. And he's doing a lot of production because it's something that he's producing that's coming out real soon. It's a movie about making some $1 million chase or something like that, it's called.
Well, he's going to be in town tomorrow. The Hawks have a big date with LeBron and the Lakers, who are coming in off a big loss last night to a sudden new powerhouse in the NBA that we have to suddenly take notice of. And could they be a threat to win it all? And where do the Hawks stand? That's next on The Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now you can listen to The Game anywhere in the world. Just go to radio.com and stream us anytime.
Using the internet.
Stay connected to Atlanta sports 24/7. Only at radio.com and the radio.com app. Streaming live now. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Trae Young brings it up, shoots a three, and makes it. Trae Young with a three-pointer. He's got 13 now. That's his second three of the night. 105-86, Hawks trail.
Steve Holman on the voice of the Hawks on Sports Radio 90.9 The Game from State Farm Arena, and you could tell in his voice that there was no bang. There was nothing. It was just like, oh, Trae makes a three.
Steve sound about like how the team played last night.
Mm-hmm.
Energyless. Energy list. Not, you know, shout out to Steve Holman, man. I mean, it has to be tough, him being the biggest fan that he is, for them to play the way that they played last night. So bad that Coach Pierce had to put the second stringers in to get a little bit of juice going.
Welcome back to the Morning Show with John and Hugh, and this is what Lloyd Pierce said about that.
Well, the rebounds, what it does is it shows you their commitment to effort and to compete and to go after 50-50 balls, and just they were just – they wanted it more. We had a stretch where anytime we had 50 rebounds, you know, that was when we were winning games. We were out rebounding our opponents. We were getting 50 rebounds in a game. It's not one guy. I know John's numbers are low. Dwayne's numbers are low. TP only has one. But we're being out rebounded by 16.
Yeah, they were beat up on the boards and then outshot. And so you look, they win games. And when they've won games, even the big games they've won, have all been about effort and
energy games.
Yeah, energy games, right.
And with a team that relies heavily on energy the way that they do and playing fast and moving the ball the way that they do to have nights like this. I mean, they're a young squad. They gotta move past this though. I mean, really, when you look at it, nobody had a great night.
No, nobody had a great night. So the homestand starts on a kind of a sour note with back to back losses here to Charlotte and to Orlando, and now come the Lakers tomorrow night with LeBron coming into town. Now, the Lakers come into town having given up 143 points last night.
To the Sixers.
To the 76ers. Now, the 76ers made one of the big trades before the trade deadline, getting Tobias Harris, who is really good. To go on that team, you have Embiid, you have Simmons. I mean, that team is loaded with talent. Matter of fact, there are people who now say that player for player in a starting five, the 76ers have – next to Golden State, the best starting five in the entire NBA.
Yeah, in the East. Well, that remains to be seen. You know, when you get in the playoffs. But I think that they're now with Tobias being there, that people are looking at him to be the favorite coming out of the East. You know, and there's so much talk, as you know, like with Jimmy Butler there, potentially trying to keep everybody, trying to make sure that everybody stays intact with this Markelle Fultz trade with Tobias Harris, for Tobias Harris. So yeah, they're looking at making a run this year, or if not this year, definitely in the next couple of years.
Oh, I think they're looking at this year. They're thinking this year they can. Well, I mean, because they're right there.
No, they're right there. But I'm just saying they're looking at in the long term, John. From the people that I'm hearing from Philadelphia, they're talking about trying to keep this team together to make multiple runs.
Are you surprised that Ben Simmons has started to catch on a little bit? Remember, I mean, all the talk about how he was as natural a talent as we've ever seen, and yet he would loaf.
No, you know what's funny? I remember watching him when he was in college. I think it was LSU and Texas A&M when they're playing in a tournament play. And I remember they were talking about how he just was running up and down the court. Like, he knew he was going to the pros.
Mm-hmm.
For him to be able to turn it on like that, it kind of goes against what Travis Slink was talking about as far as, being in a situation where you're trying to figure out what a guy wants to be when he gets into the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like the light's turned on for Ben Simmons, and he wants to be a great player.
You know, because I think for Hawks fans, you look at Philadelphia, and that's really what you want to pay attention to. I mean, everybody talks about how you want to build Golden State and Travis Slink. Uh-uh. You're trying to build Philadelphia because they had all these young guys, even with the miss that they had, and they had a gigantic, ginormous miss in Markelle Fultz. I mean, a waste of a number one pick. Really, I mean, there's no other way to put it. I mean, so much so they had to go out and get Jimmy Butler to fix it.
Well,
but they had Joel Embiid, they had Ben Simmons, they had all these young players, which is what the Hawks want to build, and then they were there for a year and then almost there last year, and in year three they went out and made the move for Jimmy Butler, then made the trade deadline move for Tobias Harris, which is what I think you can kind of look at, Hugh, and say next year you get a couple of draft picks, and then the next year that's maybe when you make a big move. And then another move, and that's what you mirror not the Golden State Warriors so much as you mirror the Philadelphia 76ers.
Well, that's what it is. And, you know, it's funny that you mention that, John, because even people in the organization, when you talk about this team, the Hawks, that is, very careful not to use the phrase that I guess the 76ers coined last year, trust the process.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a process, and these are the growing pains that you have to go through. Because it started with Nerlens Noel. It started way back then when they were trying to build this team.
Right.
And, you know, going through the growing pains and getting the right people, the right pieces to fit at the same time and everything. So, yeah, this is kind of the same thing. It's just funny how now with the 76ers, I can remember vividly when I was in Philly. It was only like four or five years ago where they couldn't give away Sixers tickets. Now you got people standing in line just to clang the bell in Philadelphia. Like seriously. I got old teammates that I look at on their Twitter feed, everybody like in line trying to claim the Liberty Bell when they go start the game. So yeah, it's definitely changed. It's definitely changed.
So if you're the Hawks right now, you're sitting at number five in the lottery procession. You have a 10% chance at number five to get the number one pick. It's like 1 out of 10. Remember, you could be below five. I mean, you could be six. You could be seven. You could even be eight. So you don't want to fall beyond that, though, because then you start to get to a point where you could drop out of the top 10, and that's where you really don't want to be. So it'll be interesting to see where the Hawks get to. And at this point, five is where they sit, and five is, my guess is, where they'll end up, because the four teams below them are showing no desire to win. The Hawks have 18 wins. The Bulls are at four with 13 wins. Cleveland has 11 wins, Phoenix has 11 wins, and the Knicks have 10. That's a big difference with 26 games to go, considering the fact that Phoenix has lost. You want to talk about openly tanking? Hugh, Phoenix has lost 14 games in a row. The Knicks have lost 16 games in a row. They are openly tanking. And nobody says anything. I mean, it's just, okay, we're openly tanking.
What can you say, though, John? I mean, if your team is bad, your team is bad. I mean, I think the reason why you look at it and you're so offended is that Coach Pierce is out there trying to win games. And, you know, he's coaching like he's trying to win games. I think it all depends on the mentality that you're trying to have. The bad part about the NBA is that in order to get good players, this is what you're left with doing. I mean, it is. With so many salary cap stipulations, hamstring and everything, it's hard to get better in the NBA if you don't tank. To be totally honest. And you got to get good draft picks. it's just a tough situation to be in. And not only that, the guaranteed money kind of hurts the NBA as well. That really hurts them because you got to move money around to be under the luxury cap and all this other stuff just in order to get good players. They were talking about that with the Sixers last night. They were talking about how if they want to keep all these guys, they want to keep Tobias Harris and a couple other players on their squad, that they're gonna have to dip into their luxury tax a little bit. But in order to do that, they're like, hey, if we got a good team, we're going to keep them together for a little while. We could do that. It all depends on what Jimmy Butler wants to do.
John and Hugh in the mornings. Phone line's always open at 404-741-0929. Our Twitter is as well. We're talking to you on Twitter of what you thought of the AAF. What'd you think of the, not so much the Atlanta Legends, because, I mean, you want to talk about the Atlanta Legends, you can. But what did you think of the game? What did you think of the league and some of the new rule changes you saw? And I know you saw it because the ratings actually were pretty darn good. That's next as the morning show continues on this Monday on Sports Radio 92.9.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.